Why?
Why?
If you
Why?
Have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this
Why?
A lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking to a Syracuse linebacking legend and doing a position-by-position breakdown of the 2021 Orange football team. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Jim Stickschulte, and it's our great pleasure to be joined by former Syracuse and NFL linebacker Rich Scanlon. Rich, appreciate you coming on the program.
Thanks, Wes. Happy to be here. Hope all's well.
Yeah, all is definitely well, especially now that we get to catch up with you. And I want to get you started on this one. You're a former Syracuse All-Big East linebacker. You played in the NFL. You've done a lot more after your playing career in the business arena. So catch us up on what you've been up to since your SU playing days.
Yeah, sure. No, happy to. So, fortunate enough, like you mentioned, to spend 5 years in the NFL with the Chiefs, Titans, and New York Giants. And then, through my NFL experience, I actually got a chance to go back to school when I was done. I was able to get a master's, got an MBA at the University of Pennsylvania at the Wharton School. So very fortunate to do that as I, thought about retiring from football and, going on to my second career. So went back to school, still needed to get a job. And then kind of bounced around a little bit and then found, my calling really for, as a second career to be in technology. So been working with some tech startups and got involved with some private equity tech companies. And then now currently I am the CEO of a small tech company based in Raleigh, North Carolina.
So that's a great segue into my next question. You're now the CEO of a company called ImageQuix. Tell us more about the company and how you got involved there.
Sure. So it's photo technology software. So we take photographers' images, them being, school sports, college sports, school pictures, yearbooks, things like that. So in the high volume space, and we give a platform to those photographers and studios to sell their photos online, and also give them the software to help manage, the back end of their, photo management. So it's really a two-part platform, one to, sell an e-commerce website, and then two, to manage, photo, video, work processes and workflows. So, I've been pretty ambivalent to the companies that I can involve with. The one before this, I was in telecom technology, focused on text messaging for business and number management for big carriers. Prior to that, I worked at a company called Medallia, which is focused on customer feedback. So if you got a survey and an email ever, probably came from them. So really involved in the tech space and kind of industry agnostic.
You had a really great career at Syracuse. Again, you're an All Big East linebacker. You were part of a team that finished ranked 14th in the country in 2001. Do you have a favorite memory from your Syracuse playing days?
I would have to say, so 2001 was a special year for many reasons. The first game, this is very apropos given the time of year, the first game back after 9/11, we played Auburn in the Carrier Dome on like a Saturday night. And it was the first game back after, 9/11 had happened. Obviously, we were, New York's college team. I think the governor was there. And it was just like an electric environment. And we went out and, the defense had a great game. I remember Dwight Freeney, I think, had 4.5 sacks or something like that. And just being a part of that, really special day. And I think we won pretty handily. And that was, one of many great games in that season. But that was a memory that really, really sticks out to me. There are, of course, a bunch of others, but, that's the one that, one of the ones that I always call on, when people ask me about my time at Syracuse.
That's definitely a really good one. And I want to get your take on the current state of the Syracuse defense playing that 3-3-5 and the current batch of linebackers the Orange has.
Yeah, so... as far as the schemes and things of that nature, I mean, you have to adapt to the times. Obviously, the RPO offensive game of today's, you know, college football, very different than, you know, the read option of when I played. So, you know, you just have to adapt to the game. You know, I think West Virginia had a played a 3-3-5 when I was there. So it's not unheard of, and I think it's just a sign of the times, right? Offenses are spreading people out, so you need more athletes on the field, you know, to cover all the space out there. So, you know, it makes sense. You know, and as far as the current stable of linebackers, you know, really excited about, you know, what they've been able to do at the position. I think overall on defense, you know, if you look at, you know, the past few years, you know, there's been a lot of NFL-ready talent that's come out of, you know, the defensive side of the ball, which is awesome to see. Obviously, I'm a defensive guy, so I'm pretty biased. But I'm looking forward, you know, to seeing the guys progress, like Michael and the rest of the guys in the linebacking core. I obviously follow it, you know, pretty closely in terms of watching them on Saturdays. But I'm excited about what the defense has been able to do. I thought they played well last year. You know, I thought they got tired at times. You know, they were out there for a while. But I thought they played really well, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, playing itself out in, you know, in the NFL. If you look at the guys that have continued on, you know, in their career, you know, so I'm proud of, you know, how the defense has, you know, has been able to, you know, kind of, grow their talent level and, you know, also experience some success at the next level.
And Rich, we'll get you out of here on this one. How do you feel about where the program is right now? And what do you think of Dino Babers?
So the beginning of the year, I always have a ton of optimism. So I'm excited for the season. You know, it's really just a matter of how, you know, can we, you know, obviously I know some of the challenges from last year. I'm always, like I said, going into every season, I'm always optimistic. Obviously you don't hope for a season like 1-10, but I'm always optimistic. And, you know, Syracuse before has proven over the past, you know, 5-10 years that, you know, we can go from 1-10 to, you know, 8-3 or, you know, 7-4, what have you, and get to a bowl game. And I think that's always my aspiration and expectation for this team is, you know, to be competitive, you know, in every single game and, you know, to make a bowl game. I mean, I think that's the expectation, you know, of the alums that, you know, I've, you know, that I know, and, you know, that era of Syracuse where, you know, we were in a bowl game pretty much every year, winning records and, you know, win 9-10 games a season, be nationally ranked. I mean, that's the aspiration that I have for the program. I hope the players and the coaches have for, and I know they have, you know, and I think that's the goal that, you know, that we always need to shoot for, you know, and I think, you know, like I said, I'm just always full of optimism at the beginning of the year. So I'm confident that, you know, the team will be much improved, and, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing what they do and getting up to a game.
Rich, thanks so much for coming on the program. Again, our great friend, former Syracuse All-Big East and NFL linebacker Rich Scanlon. Rich, really appreciate your time. Congratulations on all your success in the business arena. Enjoy the college football season, and we'll speak with you soon.
Thank you so much, Wes, and appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to hopefully seeing you guys at a game.
Rich Scanlon, definitely one of my favorite guys from the latter years of the Paul Pasqualoni era. Very cool to catch up with him. And I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online senior columnist, Jim Stickschulte. Jim, how are you today?
Doing well, Wes. How are you?
Jim, doing well. Let's talk a little Syracuse football. It's our annual podcast when you break down the football team. So starting on offense, I know you wanted to highlight the wide receivers, but what do you think of the group overall?
Well, the primary thing is something I discovered looking back at what wide receiver production has been like in the time that Dino Babers has been the head coach. Obviously, when Babers came to Syracuse, we knew a lot about up-tempo and high speed and running a lot of plays and throwing the ball a lot. And, you know, Babers talks about wanting to run as well. And so I just looked at what wide receiver production was like in the Dino Babers era and have found what probably the real problem with the wide receivers is in that Syracuse needs at least one more to show something significant this year. They returned Taj Harris and Anthony Quealy, who were the two starters last year. Harris has, you know, 135 receptions in his career and is closing in on 2,000 career yards. Quealy got his first significant playing time last season, had 37 catches as well. But in the previous years under Babers, there's been a lot more diverse production from the wide receivers, not just two guys at wide receiver and then whatever happens. Even in the beginning when we saw guys like Amba Edetabo, Irv Phillips, and Steve Ishmael putting up monster receptions, Babers' first year Edetabo had 94 catches, Irv Phillips 90, but there were two other guys who had 48 catches, at least 48 catches. And even the following year, Steve Ishmael had 104 and Phillips had 89 catches. And there was another wide receiver with 33 receptions, and Ravion Pierce at tight end had 29. The 2018 season, the one that we always think back of, it was Eric Dungy and no one else. Well, there were four wide receivers on the roster that year who had at least 40 receptions, and the leader was Sean Riley with 64, so it's not like they had somebody out there putting up absolutely ridiculous video game numbers, but they had four wide receivers who were all threats on the field who had to be covered, had to be worried about by defenses. And last year, yes, it was only 11 games instead of 12 or 13 in the case of that 2018 season, but, Harris was under – the leading receiver was Harris, and he had under 60 receptions. Quigley had 37, and the third wide receiver was Nyheim Johnson, who had 20 catches last year, and he's now transferred out of the program, so he's not around. So in addition to, all the concerns about who's going to be the starting quarterback and how's the offensive line going to look and how can they be healthy, they need a lot more from these wide receivers and from a lot more guys than just – the returning starters in Harris and Quigley. Otherwise, it's hard to see this offense getting much better, and that's a little grim to think about when we think about how bad the offense has been the last couple seasons.
Jim, let's move over to the other side of the ball. How do you think Syracuse will do in terms of replacing three defensive backs who are now playing in the NFL, and how about the rest of the defense?
The defense, I don't have any real concerns about the front line, the defensive line. Pretty much everyone who was a real contributor last year is back. And so, if they should be able to stay healthy, they'll be able to rotate a lot of guys through. The linebacking group was developing stars. Everyone knows about Michael Jones, and everything he did last year and becoming a starter. But even Jeff Cantanarku and Stephon Thompson, who were out there as starters as well, performed well, especially Thompson, who was a true freshman. Marlo Wax is the only other experienced linebacker. So while he can you can certainly feel comfortable with him on the field working in through as a rotation player, that's about where the depth ends in the linebackers. And while we think about the defensive backs, how they lost three players to the NFL draft in Andre Sisco and Trill Williams and Ife Melifonwu, I mean, in a sense, now that, Sisco and Trill Williams are gone, their injuries last year, while they certainly did not help the product last year, they probably actually will, make things better this year, just because with Sisco being lost for the season due to injury and then Trill Williams opting out after he was injured, Jihad Carter and Rob Hanna stepped into their positions on the field as freshmen last year and played very well, or at least, probably as well as could be expected. Carter had 67 tackles, which was second on the team, and had a couple picks, and Hanna had 55 tackles, including a dozen in the game against Duke. Those guys, while they'll still be listed in the program as freshmen because of the pandemic, but because the pandemic not costing them a season of eligibility, they're actually more like they actually have basically a full season of experience under their belt. So even though it says freshmen, they'll be ready to go. And even Amon Greenwood got to play a decent amount last season. Eric Coley should be returning from injury, and then Jason Simmons, the transfer from New Mexico State. While there's no true second quarterback to line up across from Garrett Williams, having a lot of guys with game experience and who have played cornerback at some point in their career, either, some at Syracuse or even just in high school, it looks like one of those guys is going to be picked or the freshman Darian Deuce Chestnut, one of the highlights of the incoming class, to start next to Williams. So, but the good thing is, even though those guys were injured last year and lost all that talent to the NFL, the Syracuse defensive backfield still should be pretty good, even though they normally play five guys out there instead of four.
And Jim, we're right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts?
Just one thing, because we joke about as Syracuse football fans or followers of the program that about the importance of kickers and punters at Syracuse, but we actually have probably the best kicker in program history on the roster. Andre Schmidt, we all remember that he won the Lou Groza Award as a freshman. But he's really good, man. I mean, I was looking at his record. He's second all time in school in fourth in Syracuse history in scoring with 291 points. He's made 56 out of 65 field goals, which is well over an 80% clip. He's hit over 80% in each of his three seasons. And he's 43 points behind Nate Trout for the top of the leaderboard and four field goals away from owning that record as well. I know we don't really get excited about kickers that often, but Schmidt's one of the best in school history, and hopefully he'll do a little more work in putting his name all over the top of some very, very prestigious lists in the Syracuse record book this year.
Jim, my closing thoughts are on Syracuse basketball recruiting. The Orange recently lost out on five-star wing Kamari Lands, who decommitted, but they're continuing to recruit hard in the 2022 class. One guy they've been after for a while is four-star point guard J.J. Starling, a native of Syracuse who played at nearby Baldwinsville. He's on the Syracuse campus from September 10 to 12 for an official visit, according to Pro Insight's Andrew Slater. He'll also be visiting Notre Dame, Northwestern, and Duke in September. A commitment from Starling would help ease the loss of Lands. It'll be a tough battle against Duke, but the Orange is still very much in this recruitment, so let's see how it plays out. That's it for us. For Jim Stickschulte, this is Wes Chang reminding you that volleyball is a weird-looking sport that just looks like two groups of people who don't want a volleyball. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cuse podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, an infant formula company on a mission to get a lot closer to the most super superfood on the planet, breast milk. Our patented protein blend has more of the important and most abundant proteins actually found in breast milk. We're the first and only U.S.-made formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. We even conducted the largest clinical trial by a new infant formula company in a quarter century, with clinically proven benefits like easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula. And we make our own formula in the USA in our very own factories in Iowa, Oregon, and Pennsylvania. ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.